Now, last week I spoke about walking a renewed life. Perhaps for some it's that are listening, it's a new life, not even a renewed life. Maybe it's a new life in Messiah Yeshua, which is great. Oh, the children. Okay, let's bless the children. Absolutely. Let's bring them. So if you haven't guessed by now, here we are in the first Shabbat meeting on this secular calendar. And last week I did speak about walking a renewed life, or perhaps for some of you listening, a new life in Messiah Yeshua. I encouraged, or at least I hope that I encourage you to press in a bit more than the previous year to Messiah. Press in a little bit more on his word, reading his word, praying his word, meditating his word. Well, this week I want to give you 5 steps that we must accept if we're to press in and receive what Adonai wants to give us. And I'm just going to give the sound booth a warning. I'm not going to use my clicker. I'm going to let you do that, being that I'm one-handed already. So these 5 steps outline a path that emphasizes both the grace of Yeshua's sacrifice and the active discipline of living out his instructions for us that is eternal, as well as for our life to now here on earth. In Messianic Judaism, this balance between Enuma, faith, and Halacha, the instructions, or as some would say, laws of the way one walks or conducts themselves, are really central. This list that I want to give you today, I believe, touches on some profound spiritual truths that if we keep within our walk, will help us to move with and through the Ruach HaKodesh, that Holy Spirit, until we get to see Adonai face to face at the end of our lives here on earth, whether it's because our life ended or because the earth as we know it ends. I'm going to give them as 5 steps, as I said, that we have to accept in order to move with Adonai along the path laid out for each of us. That path is different for each one of us, but these 5 steps, I believe, are going to be the same for each one of us. Each of the steps that I'm going to give will start with the phrase, Yeshua gave us a way back for all mankind, but only if they'll accept. And then I'll tell you what they need to accept as one of the steps. Many people think that there are many ways to get back to Yeshua or to Adonai. But I think that these 5 steps are true foundations for us all. And the first is that Yeshua gave us the way back for all mankind, but only if they will accept his teaching as instructions to live by. In other words, the words of Scripture as written for us are not suggestions, but they are a foundational map for our lives. We are not to either wander away from the word given to us, and we're not to accept some, but not others. We have to accept what we're told by Shaul in 2 Timothy 3. So 2 Timothy 3, starting in 16, it's a verse a lot of us know. All Scripture is inspired by God, or God-breathed, as some would say, and useful for teaching, for reproof, for restoration, and for training in righteousness, so that the person belonging to God may be capable, fully equipped for every good deed. The best and perhaps the only reason to place the Torah within our hearts is that they are the only words from Adonai to us that are written and the only words that we are to truly live by. Shaul says it there so that we will be capable and fully equipped to do the good deeds of Adonai. There is nowhere in Scripture that says. And also watch for part two at coming to a scroll store near you. These are everything that we need right there in Scripture that's written down for us to know from Adonai. It's written for us to study, to read, to reread, to put in our hearts, to put in our minds. It is for this reason that Adonai tells us in the book of Joshua, Joshua 1:8, it says this, "This book of the Torah should not depart from your mouth, but you are to meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will be successful." Keep his words on your heart so that they become your heart attitude towards him, towards others, and towards the way that you walk in your life. They were not meant to be soft words that just comfort, but they also are a rock that we build our life on, as it says in Matthew 7:24. It says, and these are Yeshua's words, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And yet it did not fall, for its foundation has been built on the rock." When we build our lives on his words, it will be steady. It will be sure. But that does not mean that storms will not come against us, but that we'll be able to stand with them, against them. There's some confusion, though, about the verses in Joshua and Matthew and how they're to be understood together. The words that we read in Joshua were from Adonai, and they said that the book of the Torah is not to depart from us. Then there are some who would say that the words from Matthew are from Yeshua, and they want to live by his words and his words alone. They see a conflict, but I'm reminded of the words that Yeshua said to the Sadducees in Matthew 22 when he said, "You're going astray. Don't you? You don't understand the Scripture or the power of God." If all Scripture has to agree with itself and not contradict itself, then we also have to remember the words of Yeshua from Matthew 5. Matthew 5, starting in verse 17, says, "Do not think that I came to abolish the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I tell you, until heaven and earth passes away, not the smallest letter or serif shall ever pass away from the Torah until all things come to pass. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, this one shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." We are to remember them and apply them to all of his words written to us. We should remember to apply them, as all of them are his words to us. And they join all of Scripture together, knowing that Adonai always was, is, and will be, along with knowing that there is but one God who is a triune God, meaning that the Father, Son, and the Ruach are not just one, as if they're, you know, they all think the same, so they're all together. No, they are one. And there is no conflict in knowing that Yeshua was teaching the Torah for all of us to live by. So the next step that Yeshua gave the way back for all mankind, but only if they will accept the call to love and forgive all men as he has. The calling for us to love and forgive is often the hardest instruction from Adonai to follow, but it also has the greatest power of transformation in our lives when we are walking in the Ruach. Let me take this thing off. Here is what Yeshua said about how we are to act when we interact with the world around us. Luke 6:31. There's a bunch of verses here. 6:31 through 36. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. But if you do good to those who are doing good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do this. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to take, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of Elyon. For he is kind to the ungrateful and evil ones. Be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate to you. There are a lot of people that want to apply the do unto others as you would have others do unto you instruction, as if it only applies when you're interacting with other believers. But that's not the words of Yeshua. For he's speaking of when you interact with sinners, which we hope are not other believers. These instructions to us are not to be narrowed to just one group of people, but all people. So we read Mark 12 with this in mind. We see how the actions that we are to take are not to be narrowly aimed. So Mark 12, starting in verse 28. One of the Torah scholars came and heard them debating. Seeing that Yeshua had answered them well, he said to him, "Which commandment is first of all?" Yeshua answered, "The first is Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love Adonai your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Love the Lord first, then the believer second? No. It is love your neighbor as yourself. So who is your neighbor? Well, that seems to be a big question today, you know, for both individuals and our government. Is it just the ones who live next to you? Are they the ones that should live next to you? Are the ones that have a history of living next to you your neighbors? Not the ones that just came recently to live next to you. It doesn't cost you to love your neighbor, but even more than costed money, it costs us love to express as expressed in many ways. Now, could you imagine if in the congregation, everyone in the congregation here said, "You know, I'm not going to give into Messiah's manna because I don't know who I'm giving. They may not be the neighbor I think I want to call a neighbor." There are those that say that same thing about taxes and the way government helps other people. They want to take up an attitude of vengeance to remove them from the neighborhood. But what is it that Adonai says to us in Leviticus 19? Leviticus 19, 18. You are not to take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you are to love your neighbor as yourself. I am Adonai. I guess we have to define our people to understand this verse. Our people as in the people that always live near us? Or our people who fall within Jew or Gentile categories that we call ourselves? Yeah, depending on who we are. Or how about our people as in Adonai created all people? Since we are part of that group, that makes all people our people. If we're following the words of Mark 12, love your neighbor as yourself, then how could we possibly hold a grudge or take vengeance against anybody? If we put Adonai first and then his people next, then any desire for vengeance or anger towards others should be easily removed from our lives. Not just put to the side to be taken up later, but left before the throne and not picked up again. In the instructions of Adonai, this seems to fit in quite nicely when he speaks through the prophet Micah about our actions and sacrifices for him. Micah 6, verse 7, starting there. Will Adonai be pleased with thousands of rams or hordes of rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my belly, for the sin of my soul? He has told you, humanity, what is good and what Adonai is seeking from you, only to practice justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Towards who should we do what is good? And who should we practice judgment towards or show love and mercy or in order to walk before humbly before our God? It can't be towards God himself, since we can't enforce judgment upon him. It is towards all those that he created so that we can live our lives in step, accepting the call to love and forgive all men, just as he has. Because we love God, we can and must love all others. The third step that Yeshua gave for the walk back for all mankind, but only if they will accept the limitations, that they cannot do what Adonai can. This is a call for humility before Adonai, with the understanding that only he is God, and that only through him does anything good get done. We are not the creator sounds pretty obvious for us. But then tack on the thought that his ways are well above our own ways in doing anything. And then we start to understand why we need to accept that we are not to place ourselves or our ideas above his. Let's start with the simple word from Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, 8, starting there. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. It is a declaration of Adonai. For as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Adonai is not boasting, but telling a truth that we need to live by. Torah is but some of his thoughts, but they are what we are to live by. If we're to know all that he knows, it would just blow our minds. We wouldn't be able to live lives. We wouldn't have any kind of sanity. We have to accept that he is God and we are nothing in comparison to him. But that doesn't mean that we can do nothing. When we are a part of him, by being engrafted to him, then we can do anything. Let's first read from John 15, verse 4, starting there. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. The branch itself cannot produce fruit unless it abides in the vine. Likewise, you cannot produce fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. We are unable to bear fruit ourselves. Doesn't matter what kind of fruit. Doesn't matter what kind of fruit, you just can't do it. I would even say that if you wanted to bear fruit that he doesn't call for, you still wouldn't be able to do it because he will not be in that effort with you. Without him, you cannot do anything. It is impossible. But we're assured by Yeshua of this in Matthew 19, starting in verse 23. Then Yeshua said to his disciples, Amen, I tell you, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were utterly astonished and said, Who can be saved? And looking, Yeshua said to them, With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Now, this is definitely a word about salvation, but it's also a word about anything that we try to do on our own. The reality is, with men, everything is impossible, but with God, everything is possible. There are some who would say, but I've done things outside of God. And I would respond, but how long will they last? Temporary things may be possible without Adonai, but nothing that will last can be done without Adonai. To tell you the truth, I don't need everything I do to last for all eternity. But to be with him for eternity, then all things that I do must be for him and through him. And when that's true for any of us, then there will be no limitations of what we can do for and through him. But for that to be true, we have to accept not just that there is no limitations on God, but there are definitively limitations on what we can do without God. Now, the fourth step is that Yeshua gave the way back for all mankind, but only if they will accept that you cannot take what Adonai does not give. This speaks of our contentment and trust in Adonai and his provisions for us and his timing in all things. His ways are perfect, and we are to accept them as such, even when they do not meet our expectations or our desires. We may want to do, but it is he who does, and we are not able to reach up into the heavens to bring down our own blessings. It's up to him to reach down to us to bestow the blessings onto each one of us. We have to be willing to be patient and thankful for what he has for us now and in the future. When we try to take or build things on our own, there is nothing but poverty in store for us. We try, we plan, we may even start things. But without him, there will be nothing. Psalm 127:1 is a song of ascents of Solomon. Unless Adonai builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless Adonai watches over the city, the watchman stands guard in vain. We can try to build the house or even a congregation, but if he is not in it, then there will only be vain labor and will result in nothing. We can try to protect the city as a watchman, but it will be of no use if Adonai is not within the city. We cannot take anything that is not given by his hand, just as we are not able to create or build if he does not build within the project. Yes, we can build with straw on the sand, but unless we build on the rock and with the stones of his words, we are not able to stand the storm. Men want to reach out and take, but we can only really have it if it's given to us by Adonai. When the disciples of John the Immerser came to John and said that another was immersing and many were going there instead of going to John's camp, without knowing, they were complaining about Yeshua and his disciples. John knew it, and John told them this in John 3:27. John answered back and said, "A man can receive nothing unless it's been given to him from above." We can understand the response from John as saying, "Adonai gave me a job to do until Yeshua came. Am I to try to take from Adonai what he does not want me to have? Should I take from Yeshua what is his?" We each were assigned a position, a job in our life. We are not to overextend our reach, but we are to maximize our reach that he has given us. That which we have, we got from Adonai in heaven. And we are not to try to take more. And we are not to leave it behind, taking less than what he's given us. When we have that blessing from Adonai, there is also a promise that comes with it, which is seen in Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10:12. The blessing of Adonai brings wealth, and he also adds no trouble with it. Adonai gives, and what he gives with all his blessings. If you think you do not have a blessing because you have looked around and think that you don't have anything now, you don't know what you're looking at in reality. You don't know what he's prepared then, obviously, for you in heaven for eternity. Looking at the temporal, looking at the temporary instead of the eternal is short-sighted on our part. Looking at the deposit instead of the full payment could make it look like there's not much to have. You have to acknowledge the full payment that is to follow the deposit. What you have now is but a deposit in this life for the eternal that's promised. Be patient, even if it means that you live for a little while now with not much, knowing much will come later. Not only do I promise that it's worth it, he promises that it's worth it, and he never breaks his promise. The final step, maybe the most obvious one for all of us, can you think of what it might be? It's that Yeshua gave the way back for all mankind but only if they accept the salvation by the blood of Yeshua. It's the most obvious one, I think. Without the atonement provided by Yeshua's blood, the other steps lack the power to bridge the gap, to bring together man as the created and the Lord as the creator. The blood of Messiah Yeshua was not a new concept created in the Brit Hadashah, the new covenant, but was established within the Tanakh for all to accept and follow. Remember what it says about the blood in Leviticus 17. Leviticus 17:10. Anyone from the house of Israel or from the outsiders dwelling among them who eats any kind of blood, I will set my face against that soul, the one who eats blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your lives. For it is the blood that makes atonement because of the life. I know we've been taught, or many of us have been taught, that the Tanakh is for the Jewish people to follow, and the Gentiles were not required to follow. But what does it say at the start of verse 10? Anyone from the house of Israel, the Jewish people, or from the outsiders dwelling among them, that would be Gentiles. Everybody who's not Jewish were to maintain the commandment that they were not to eat the blood because it has the life of the creature. Now, are we to believe that Adonai is creating commandment for Israel and then a smaller commandment for the Gentiles? Did he say Israel is to maintain a kosher diet regarding the blood and the clean and unclean animals, but the nations, the Gentiles, only have to worry about the blood? I find that hard to believe, although there are some who will cite scripture in the New Covenant that says from the Jerusalem Council, here are the four things that they only need to do in order to come into the synagogues, the temple. That was just a start. It wasn't meant to be, and this is it. And just as hard to believe is that the blood that is talked about in the Tanakh is different than the blood that's in the Brit Hadashah. There is but one God, and there is but one word of the one God to follow. Listen to what Peter has to say in 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1:18. You know that you were redeemed from the futile way of life handed down from our ancestors, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with precious blood like that of a lamb, without defect or spot, the blood of Messiah. First, let me just say that when you read the commentaries about Peter's letters and who they were written to, they'll say that they were written to both Jews and Gentiles. I have to giggle a little bit about this, to be honest with you. They say that Peter's the apostle to the Jewish people, but the letters were not to the Jewish people. It is as if the Gentile commentaries, writers, were saying, he's Jewish. We agree. He writes to the Jewish people. But I have to be included too, so let's just say that he's writing to Jew and Gentile. They need to be included, so they include themselves in who Peter was writing to. As a Jew, Peter's reference to the lamb sacrifice is not just a Passover sacrifice, but also the sacrifices of the Torah, of the Tanakh. Regardless whether you believe that or not, the blood of the lamb is being made equivalent to the blood of Messiah in the cleansing effort. The reason is that there is life in the blood, and it was given for atonement. The difference is that the lamb was burnt or eaten and therefore temporary, while Messiah Yeshua's body saw no decay in the grave. And it was raised to the right hand of the Father in heaven. And he's our everlasting atonement for each and every one of us, sitting at the right hand, making intercession for us for all time. And there are plenty of blood at the stake that Yeshua was on. And it was all for a reason. The Tanakh says in Isaiah 53 this, Isaiah 53:4, surely he has bore our griefs and carried our pains, yet we esteemed him stricken, struck by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our transgressions, crushed because of our iniquities. The chastisement of our shalom was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Yeshua's hands were pierced while he was alive. There would have been blood gushing out. And the crown of thorns described in Matthew 27 or Mark 15 or John 19 would certainly have caused blood to run down his face. And the whipping, which really is just a polite way of saying the scourging that ripped the skin off his back, caused his blood to be spilled for our atonement. Nothing at the stake was bloodless. Nothing at the stake was painless. Nothing at the stake was useless. Yeshua's blood was spilled just for you. It wasn't meant to be mean, although it was mean. It wasn't meant just to be graphic, to make people turn away, although I bet that happened for a lot of people. After the angels of God fought with the dragon and his angels, which is Satan, and won, it says this in Revelation. Revelation 12, starting in verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his anointed one. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, the one who accuses them before our God, day and night, has been thrown out. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony, and they did not love their lives even in the face of death. They overcame the evil one by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, the word of his testimony, his words. And they're also given for us to prevail in our lives and for our eternity, for the atonement of our sin, which we do battle with every day. The battle with sin is real, and the battle that is fought in the spiritual realm is real. The final battle will be won in the same way by the blood of Messiah Yeshua and the word that Adonai has given to us to live by. In 2026, we have these steps which we should take and we should not forget. We're to remember that we go and do what Adonai says, not what you think will accomplish what you think he wants. Even if you do know what it is that he wants from you, for you, but he hasn't told you yet the how. Don't do it yet. Don't make your own way. I want to say to you, you are not to focus on the final outcome, but on the process that is placed before us by Adonai. Just as we are not to try to build a heaven to go to, we are also not to try to build what only Adonai can build in both the physical and the spiritual. Our call is not a call to actually create, but to act towards what He created for us and for the world. To do this, we are to accept the five steps as laid out in Scripture. We are to accept His teaching as instructions to live by. We are to accept the call to love and forgive all men He has. We are to accept the limitations that they cannot do what Adonai can. We are called to accept that we cannot take what Adonai does not give, and we are to accept the salvation is by the blood of Yeshua. Father, we thank You that in this new year You've given us steps to walk out and ways to walk it out. We thank You that You, Adonai, are the King of kings and Lord of lords at all times. We acknowledge You are King and Lord over the past thousands of years. And we acknowledge You will be King and Lord for however many years more before You come back again. Ruach, we just thank You and praise You as the one and only. And everyone said, amen and amen.